need that this morning. I'll just be a little more enthusiastic with you. All right? I can work with it or work without it. One of the things I seem to have been blessed with was enough air capacity to reach the last row. Richard Baber, one of our electronics whiz, is working this morning. We have another electronic whiz, which is our guy Travis. I believe he's preaching up in North Seattle this morning. And so we still have a crew of young men helping us out. And this is the first morning where actually things stayed on. And so from the standpoint of my computer, and why that is, I don't know. I'm just thankful and glad that it is. This morning, as we were coming along, in fact, let me ask one other thing. You can think about it and mention to me later. We're working with the sound system a little bit, and I find if I put the lapel mic on my lapel, it's fine if I'm looking to my left, but then they can't hear me on the right and vice versa. Try it on the tie. It seems to cut in and out. I was talking to a sound guy this last week and said that really the thing to use is one of those head mics, and so no matter where you turn your head, and so we may do that, and if it's you can let me know, no, it's still not working or whatever. It's probably Drew up there fiddling with the buttons, making it go on and off. And so, but anyhow, seriously. This morning, as we're headed on our way to worship, and we're coming kind of early, Glenda wanted to do some things in the classroom, and we're coming along the tide flats, and there's a bridge with a lot of those beautiful white cables. We call it the Spider Bridge. I go that way because nobody's going to drive there on a Sunday morning. It's going to be zoom right through. And we zoom almost right up to the Spider Bridge, and there's yellow lights flashing, state patrol cars, people walking up and back and forth. And was it a car crash? It's not a car crash. People are walking along on the bridge, left to right. But not only is none of our traffic going, and I just have to cross the bridge and get on 705, 7 and 30, and we're here. But no traffic is going across the bridge, and no traffic's coming the other way. So then Glenda thinks, well, maybe the oddity is maybe we got a jumper. They jumped off the bridge to 40 feet below, you know. But nobody seems excited. Well, maybe they're going to jump, and they're holding them back. And then off in the distance, picture one of these top fuel drags are and a car goes roaring by us, 90 miles an hour. What in the world? Here's State Patrol, lights flashing, and he goes blowing by us. Oh, goodness. Glenda said, well, he must be crazy. I said, wait a minute. This looks like a Mad Max, a post-apocalyptic World War III car. It's a big vehicle. 7,000 horsepower, and he goes past the State Patrol, and State Patrol doesn't blink an eye. And off in the distance, by middle lane, and he goes blowing by the other way. And he gets to Pacific Avenue, and they start doing wheelies in the middle of the road. And I thought, I got it. We've got a motion picture crew and a stunt car driver. It was an unusual thing. It was interesting to see, and took us about 15 minutes, and we got by that. Well, think about that from that standpoint. If you're out camping, you're out hiking, and there's some, you know, tumbleweed, something catches fire, but it doesn't go out. Now, we're used to wildfires in the West and down in California. And that burns for a while, but then it goes out. In the book of Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 5, here's Moses seeing this sight. And God says, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. I'd like you to think along that line. Whenever we're addressing God, it's holy ground. We're meeting Him in prayer. He is the set-apart one. He is holy, holy, holy. And we're going to be talking this morning about this series that we've started called Stepping into Greatness. And one of the things I wanted us to talk about was this idea of our prayer life. One person said, prayer takes us from planet Earth to celestial glories. I like that. Years ago, people would crudely say, I try to get right with the man upstairs. This isn't the tenant on the next floor. This is the God of the universe. And when we go before Him in prayer, we're going before 10,000 angels. We're going before the 24 elders. We're going before the Spirit. He has omniscience, can hear our prayers, interpret our prayers to God. We're going before the Lamb who died for us and the Father who sacrificed His Son for us. So when we think about our prayers, the idea of stepping into greatness and out of mediocrity, well, I'm just kind of, keeping the doors open, doing the best I can. In Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, the Hebrew writer says, draw near to the throne of grace. We all need that. What he says is when we come to God, we are coming before God whose throne is characterized, typified by the attitude is, I want to bless you. And we all need that. And he says, rather than, well, I go to court. And so I've been to court a lot of times, and so far, on other people's benefit. But I don't know about you, I even go into court as a witness, and I'm uncomfortable. I like being there. What if something bad happens? He asked me a question, I don't know. But what about if we were to go before the Supreme Court? What if we go before the throne of God? And the Hebrew writer said, I want you to go before the throne of God and go there with confidence. Go there boldly, because when you do, you may receive mercy and find grace. Blessings we don't even deserve in a time of need. Seems like for us, most times are a time of need. We sometimes think, yeah, but God, I don't have all my pieces of my program together. God has always had great interest in His people. And so I like this graphic as though the hand of God is holding our entire galaxy, Milky Way, the picture would suggest to us. Psalm 145:18. Psalmist says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. Sometimes we feel like, well, here's my life and I'm kind of separated from God. God said, here's how I want to interact with you. I am not 782 trillion light years away. He said, when you pray to me, I am that close to you. When we think of Psalms in chapter 125 and down in verse 2, the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth. And for him. He said it's like the mountains of Jerusalem. We've got the Cascades on the east. We've got the Olympics on the west. We're in a beautiful land. God said, I want you to visualize that. As you go forth this week, it's not like, well, I'm doing the best I can. It's not working out very good. I'm praying and I'm not sure what the answer is. God says, I love you. I'm interested in you. I want to surround you. The angel of the Lord encamps about the righteous. So as we think of that, we've been talking about the idea of seeking great friends and mentors and pursuing great thoughts and dreaming great dreams. Well, on the subject of prayers, think about great prayers are not based on length. Okay, let us pray now for the next 22 days. You'd say, I'm going to break after about an hour and a half for sure, sometime maybe after 20 minutes. And Jesus said, Matthew 6 and verse 7, Sermon on the Mount, when you pray, and I'm using the Amplified Version just to give us a different set of words and hearing the same thing. The Amplified Version says, and when you pray, do not multiply words, repeating the same ones over and over. Last year, Glenda was interested in me doing some exercise with her, and so we did Tai Chi. That is the exceedingly slow form of martial arts, right? Well, we're doing slower ones this time. Now it's yoga. I tell them, I just sit there and hum. But think about what do individuals do if our prayers are just a hum ba ha dum ba 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 ha ba. You say, well, I could say that for 15 minutes, maybe. But what does it mean? If somebody starts talking to you like that, hey, by the way, let's have a, Martin, fellas, let's have a conversation. Yeah, they're good for about 10 seconds. In about 5 minutes, man, they're going for a drink of water. And so that's right. Hey, okay, I can get with it. And so the reality is we don't do that in our conversations. Sometimes conversations get boring and you're ready to go out. You don't get a sandwich. You might be interesting, the model prayer, sometimes called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, is 56 words long in the Greek. The reason I went to Greek is because every version you go to has a little, they, you know, say it this way or that way, and so 160 words and 159 and one something else. I mean, just a minute. So when we think about that, how should our prayers be? How eloquent must they be? God knows our language, right? He can understand English. And several of you are multilingual. My grandfather was a court worker and he knew five languages. And so, but the God that we serve, He knows every language and every dialect in every language. You know, sometimes people way up in the Northeast or down in the Southeast, they speak English, but there's, you know, kind of the local influence on that. And, yeah, Omar here said about a half a year ago, from Mississippi, is that right? He's talking about where he grew up. He said, Mississippi is about a third world country. And so, but a guy from Baton Rouge came up here to hold a gospel meeting. I shared this a few years ago. And he said, I've learned something about you all. You talk funny. And so, well, fair enough. He's having a little fun at us, realizing we see the difference with him. But the reality is God knows it all. And so it's not, do I choose all the greatest words, but God, am I pouring out my heart to you? That's what's really important. Our prayers may be awkward. We feel that sometimes. Well, I wanted to say this, but maybe I didn't say it right, or somebody else didn't say it very well. Max Lucado said our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it rather than the one who says it, our prayers make a difference. When little kids come to us and say, please. I was talking to a dad recently, and I've talked to parents over the years about the principle of don't say no if you can reasonably say yes. Why do parents say that so often? It's easy. Requires very little effort. You just say no. And if they get the first time, say it louder the second time. But what if we responded to those requests in a positive way when it's reasonable? Great prayer has at least five great characteristics. And so if we're talking about stepping out of the status quo, how I've always done it, and taking that next step, there's some things we can think about. And I just appreciate the individuals that meet here and what you've done. For those of you that are visitors, we came from a rented building where some of the people had been there 30 years. I was there 26. But when you rent a building, supposedly, they don't. But supposedly, they take care of all the maintenance, right? They fix the water leaks. They didn't. They stock the bathrooms. They didn't. They sweep the floors. They didn't. And so we rented a place where we still had to do our own maintenance. One of the differences, there's more of it here. And so, but people have just stepped up. And I've been here almost every day this week. And people are out here and they're tending the lawns. And I'll not embarrass them, but we had a sister in Christ that's edging, seriously. And they're ardent. They got a pair of scissors going along the tree line. I thought, goodness, I can't imagine doing that. But they were doing that out of the goodness of their heart. Others are taking care of the parking lot or cleaning or construction. Whatever it is, you've just stepped up and it's just been great. And so it's joyous being together. And one of the things we do as we're together beside the Lord's Supper and give and sing and preach God's Word is to pray. And so if we're thinking about stepping into greatness, think about our prayers really being an expression of who we are, where we are, deeply personal. In Psalm 42 and down in verse 1, there's where David says, "As the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs for you." We don't identify it quite as much as maybe David did in a semi-arid country. Here, we got lots of water. I mean, just pours on us for parts of the year. It's been a little drier the last couple of years. But there's times when you've been really thirsty. What do? Man, you can hear that cold water gurgling in the glass and maybe the clink of some ice cubes. And you go, "Oh, how good that is." That's what David is saying. God, that's how I feel about my relationship, my friendship with you. And then he goes on in Psalm chapter 27 and down in verse 4. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I have a request, and that I might dwell in the house of the Lord to behold his beauty." He said, "Lord, you know what I'd really like? I'd just like to be here all the time. I would just like to be involved in this. Your priests get to do that. That's what I would like to do. I would like to be in your house and meditate on you." That's an individual saying to God, "I long for a relationship." Think about what happens when we do that with each other. When we really tell each other, "I appreciate you. I appreciate who you are and what you do and the goals you have. And I hunger for even a closer relationship with you." That lets the other person say, "You really feel that way about me? Oh, yeah." Now, in our crazy time-oriented life, it seems like we're kind of shredded somewhat. But when you tell the other person that, they realize that's what's on your heart. And they may say, "You know, I'd like to spend more time with you as well." In Galatians chapter 4 and down in verse 6, moving to the New Testament, here's where Paul says that God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Well, that idea, as you look at the commentators, they'll note that the word Abba is the Aramaic word for father, and our English word comes from the Greek, pater. But what he's saying is father, father. But additionally to that, United Bible Society says that word Abba is what a young child might say. "Dad, dad, please." And that suggests the relationship. When we pray, sometimes we get up and we stumble around a little bit and we can't think of the right word. God can think of all the right words. That's one of the things in Romans 8, down in verse 27, the Holy Spirit does. That He can take this little bit awkward prayer. We say some of the things that's not exactly right. God said, "I got the bases covered." You ever do that? Somebody's praying a prayer and said, "You know, they didn't get that exactly right, but nothing's impossible with God. If I could figure out what He meant to say, God figures that out. That's not that big a deal." Are our prayers intensely personal? Neat quote, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." Abraham Lincoln. We felt like that. "Well, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to solve the problem. Lord, I don't even know how to start. But you're my Father, and I'm coming boldly before the throne that's characterized by grace." and saying, please, please help me. Stepping into greatness suggests our prayers are grounded in brokenness. I like this graphic of an eggshell broken at one end. You can't use an egg unless it's broken. And so the little graphic at the end that you may not be able to read from where you're sitting says, Lord, use my brokenness. There's a number of times the Bible writers talks about that principle of brokenness. In Psalm 51, verse 3, particularly in the second half, David says, my sin is ever before me. It's not like, a long time ago, not a big deal. You know, I've gotten over it, God. He said, God, I see it every day. I see my failings. I see my shortcomings. I see what I could have and should have done, and I didn't do it. Or I didn't do it very well. God, I'm telling you I'm broken. And I want to do better. The same chapter, down in verse 8, again the second half said, let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Probably several of us have broken bones at different times. Sometimes you've fallen as a guy in sports and wrestling and football and climbing trees. That's a part of growing up, it seems like, particularly for boys. And that's okay, but it's painful. But think about what David's saying. Here's the weight of my sin. God, you have made me aware of it. Nathan faced me with my own sin, and I am broken. Verse 9, again, the second half, he says, blot out all my iniquities and renew in me a steadfast spirit. You know, for a lot of us, we can do real good for a short time at almost anything, right? Man, I can run all the way to that front door, and man, I could sing at the top of my lungs. Yeah, for how long? Oh, who knows? Half a minute, and you're tired of it when I've done the first chord. But I can do a lot of things with all my energy, but I can't do it very long. What about our spiritual dedication to God? He said, here's what I'm looking for. I want that steadfast spirit that says when I say I'll be there, I'll be there. When I say I'll do it, I'll do it. And Lord willing, we're here all the time. When we were stuck just before the Spider Bridge, before we could turn on 705 and then 7, we called several people because I didn't know. Maybe there's a bridge jumper. Maybe we'd be there all day. And called several people. And Travis wasn't going to be here. And if I'm stuck all day, just call Bill Downey. Say, by the way, I'm on my way. But I may never get there. And if not, be ready to preach this morning and go with it. Because we have individuals, if somebody's missing to lead in prayer, you can lead in prayer. If somebody's missing to preach a sermon, you can preach a sermon. It doesn't have to be eloquent. They've got a saying in the Seahawks and maybe a lot of places that I appreciate. There's some players I wished had played every game this season and didn't. But it's next man up. All right, here this guy is. He's got a broken leg. He's not showing up. Next man up. And I appreciate the believers willing to do that. As I say that, the hair rises on the back of my neck. It's just exciting. And down in verse 17, David said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. We're just saying, God, I'm giving all of myself to you. I'm not proud of what I've done. I just need to be healed. And you're the great healer. And that's how I'm coming to you in prayer. It's very personal. And I'm coming to you broken. Great prayers seek God's agenda rather than our own. Matthew 26:39, you're familiar with. Here's where Jesus said, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. There's all kinds of things I want to pass from me, and they don't even have to be that extreme. We're not even talking about persecution and torture. May dental drilling pass from me. May surgical operations pass. I just don't want to go through all those things. There's all kinds of things I tell you, every time I get to school zone, the lights are flashing. I say, oh, no, boy, they're going to get me again. I don't want tickets to find me. I don't want broken down cars to find me. All kinds of things. Jesus is facing execution. And he said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. God, whatever it is that you will have me to do, if there is another way to save mankind, I would be willing to agree to that. But I want to do what you want me to do. Think about that. The number of times, and I was going to, but I'll just make reference to it. The number of times Bible writers will talk about God, for the sake of your name, Psalm 25 and verse 11, pardon me. Psalm 31:3, for the sake, for thy name's sake, lead me. Psalm 109:21, for thy name's sake, deal kindly with me. God, I don't deserve you to deal kindly with me. But I'm asking you because it's going to have an impact on your name. I'm asking you that, God, you come down and you help me, not because I deserve it, but because I am so undeserving. When you do, that will reflect upon your name. We're familiar with Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he says, lead me in paths of righteousness for what? Your name's sake. That's one of the things we can think about in our prayers. Maybe it has to do beyond just my agenda. God, when you heal this person, when you help that person, it's going to impact, it's going to influence your name. Because ultimately, it's not about, God, will you accept and respond to all my prayers in heaven and make that your agenda. But may heaven's agenda be fulfilled in me. So God, here's my request. But whatever it is you really want, that's what I'm asking you to do. If we're talking about stepping into greatness, we're talking about taking prayers seriously. One person said, great prayers are promise-centered, not problem-centered. Wow, Paul, what do? Most of mine are problem-centered. God, there's this problem and that problem. We need this, and that person needs that, and these 20 people need these things. I'm always focused on the needs. And every once in a while, and thank you for this food. But when you think about biblically, in Philippians 4:19, Paul says, and my God shall supply all your needs. Yeah, but I'm afraid. God says, I can take care of that. Yeah, but my health isn't very good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and down in verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, as he's telling God, look, I've got this thorn in the flesh and please take it away. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. I am going to bless you sufficiently, and I want you to know something. Power is perfected in weakness. There's people here this morning that came not feeling very good. Ben's up here, that throat's not working very good. But he got up and he led the songs. I appreciate Joe Stark. He comes in this morning, how are you doing? Oh man, I'm not feeling very good. Our family not feeling very good. But he came anyhow, he got us started, got the job done, and I appreciate that. And so when you just come, rather than, well, I didn't feel like it today, and I have a problem. The reality is, if you have a problem and do what God wants you to do, you not only glorify His name. People say, wow, what a servant of God. Man, they were having a tough time, and they stuck right with it. They came anyhow. Romans 8:28 we're familiar with. And all things work together for good to those that love God. And so, yeah, but I've got problems. Everybody has problems. Some problems are enormous. But I feel alone. Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, I will never leave you. We need to have our prayers take that to heart. I'm not alone. Whatever I'm going through will work together for good. And God, you're going to be more glorified when I do it your way. And I shall have enough. And the passage I like is Ephesians 3:20. God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis, the dynamite that works in us. God said, I've saved you. I maintain you. You've got the power to be faithful and go ahead. And, but God, can you help me in this? It's like a little kid saying, can you help me in my math? I've had a little time this morning. I looked at Facebook, and there's this interesting math thing that B.J. Sipe down in Salem said, oh boy, now here's this number. Now, if you think of a number and you add 6 and half it, then take away that number and you get on down, the answer is 3. Yeah, the answer is always 3. If you got a number and you take away that number, you got 0. And if you take 6 and half it, I said, let me think. If I get the socks off my feet, count my toes, the number is always 3. If somebody comes to you and says, what's the answer of half of 6? I can figure it out. Ben can figure it out if you're taking a moonshot and the earth is spinning on its axis and twirling around the sun and the moon's in orbit around that. What kind of math it takes to get there? I don't know. But I can figure out half of 6. Some things are pretty easy. That's how God looks at our problems. He said, I can take care of half of 6. Is all you got to know is half of 6? I can take care of that. What if we had that kind of confidence in God? That He is serious, if we're serious about His promises, that I will never leave you. And great prayers take great courage. Now, sometimes we're not as courageous as we might hope to be. But what about when we're praying a prayer and the answer is you? Sometimes people don't like to ask me to do things. I say, wow, what a great idea. Could you take care of that? Oh, no, that's what I came to you for. I said, yeah, but that's one of 1,000 great things. And you're just the person to do it. They go, oh, because really they are. They've got the passion for it. They see the earnestness of the situation and they're committed. It's challenging, but sometimes God says, you're the one. And they go, oh no, I didn't want to be the one. I wanted Jim Myers to be the one. I wanted Chuck Walker to be the one. Somebody else, Tim McVicker, to be the one. And God says, you're the one. Okay. You think about great passages like Esther chapter 4 and down in verse 14. And here's where Uncle Mordecai comes to Esther, learns about the plot to exterminate the Jews. And he says, here's what you need to do. And she goes, oh boy, I can't do that. If I come in the king's presence, I might lose my life. He said, look, you need to appreciate this. That unless you help, help will arise from some other place. But still, you and your father's house, you got Jewish blood in you, you will not escape. And Esther said, I will go. And if I perish, I perish. That's great. You realize you're going to die anyhow. You might as well die with some glory. And you appreciate the courage of women. They're scared of certain things like spiders and mice, and I don't particularly like them, but some really freaks them out. Or some say, oh man, I tell you, I'm really brave around spiders and mice. It's snakes that get me or something else. You know, we have stuff. But when we think about this, maybe we're the person to stand up. When we think about things along that line, here's Isaiah chapter 6 and down in verse 8. And Isaiah is receiving his call and God says, who shall I send and who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. I get goosebumps. I appreciate the courage. Isaiah, you're working with a stubborn nation, but you're saying, if you need somebody to stand guard, if you need somebody to be on the guard post, if you need somebody to deliver the message, I am the one. How about we do that? Sometimes there's somebody in trouble and you're the one. Or somebody needs to be confronted and you're the one. And somebody needs to be hugged and you're the one. Sometimes it just takes courage to be the one. Because what we're thinking is, what if it doesn't work? And we appreciate that statement. Success is never final. Oh, yeah, I made it. Well, when I make it, I get to heaven. Before then, it's always, well, we got through today. Success is never final. Failure is not fatal. It's courage that counts. What I'd like us to do is go to God in a closing prayer. I don't think I've ever ended a lesson that way. Now, for Ben's sake, what we're going to do after the prayer, we're going to have an invitation song. That invitation song is going to be Trust and Obey. I didn't ask him to lead it, but it means a lot to me because it works with this lesson of trusting and obey. That's the song that was sung when I was baptized at 18 years old. And you may be here this morning as Thomas was a couple of weeks ago, and he said, we're 3 weeks away from having a baby, and I'm ready to be baptized. And the following Thursday, they had a baby. But he was. And it's so good to have you and your little baby. Here's Mama holding the little one. Little one is actually 72 pounds now. But big baby. Especially for what, a week and a half old or whatever. And so it's just so joyous to have you with us. But you may be here and say, you know, I am so ready to obey God. I am so ready to step out of mediocrity and status quo into God's view of greatness. And I want my prayers just to be better. It doesn't have to be more eloquent, just more ardent. Let's go to God together in prayer, and then we're going to have our invitation song. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that your kingdom reigns and reigns worldwide. And may your will touch each precious soul here this morning. May we all approach you with broken spirits, broken, contrite hearts. For with such sacrifices, our God, you are well pleased. May we get off the throne of our own lives and let go of the reins of direction and let you direct us. And may you get all the glory as we live these lives. And even though we may be weak, may you perfect your power in us anyway. Father, we know all things are possible with you. And may we be ready to respond to you this day and to be blessed by you in such a way that it glorifies and honors you and encourages those round about us. Father, as your frail servants with broken hearts, we bow before your throne of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Ben, why don't you lead us?